Yeah, we are supposed to incline our ears to his sayings, aren't we? So we've been talking about the Son of God and the Son of Man. God gave us the perfect combination, the God-man, Jesus Christ. He is the whole ball of wax. He is the whole enchilada. He is the Word made flesh. He is divine and he is human. And he is the perfect mediator between us and God. There's only one mediator, the Bible tells us, the man, Christ Jesus. So I want to go a little bit further today, and I want to talk about him as the Son of God. And I want to just talk about some things that he did as the Son of God. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. You know, the demons knew that he was God. You know, isn't it interesting how demons knew and not a whole lot of people knew? Find that very interesting. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3. Here Jesus was led into the wilderness and he was tempted. And the Bible says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You know, if the enemy can get you to doubt who you are, then he'll win. Amen? If he can convince you that you're defeated when you have the victory, then the devil wins. And here the devil came, the tempter came, and he said, if you be the Son of God. What kind of question is that? Now, you know what? Jesus was secure in who he was. He knew who he was, and he didn't have to have an argument with the enemy. He simply said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Did you know that you can live by the words that proceed out of God's mouth? You know what? And since God is always talking, you can have a word every day. When you're in trouble, God will send you a word to deliver you. When you are in a circumstance that needs to change, he'll send you a word that can change that circumstance. So the devils knew that Jesus was the Son of God. All right, go to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 29. Matthew 8 and 29. We'll start with verse 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. Now, aren't you glad we don't have ushers or greeters like that? Amen? And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, the Son of God? Are you come here to torment us before the time? Did you know that the devils know that they're going to be tormented? And that's going to come when Jesus comes again. Right now, devils, demons, there's one devil and lots of demons, they have access into this earth. And it was given to them by man. Okay? But here, they recognized Jesus as the Son of God. As the Son of God, he is God. In other words, they understood that he had authority over them. If he wanted to torment them, he could have. But every time he encountered devils, what did Jesus do? Did he say, oh my gosh, you have a devil? He would tell the devil to either hold the peace, to be quiet, to come out, or to go. There was only one time where he asked the devil what his name was, and that was part of the verse that we read earlier, when the guy was possessed with legion. So, Jesus, as the Son of God and the Messiah, he has authority to operate as God. He has authority to speak on God's behalf. And I want you to go to Matthew chapter 14. There's an interesting story here in this gospel. Matthew chapter 14. And let's start with verse 22. Straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. How many know that God has a plan for your life? He wants you to go from point A to point B. And if you're in the same location, he wants you to go from point A to point B in your spirit, in your knowledge, in your growth. Amen? How many know that God's interested in progress? He's interested in growth. And here, you know, they just finished feeding the multitude, and Jesus was sending the people away, and he tells his disciples to go to the other side. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. You know, Jesus ministered to a large group of people, and he had to spend time with the Father. You know what? That's good for us too, amen? We should spend time with the Father. We should be in a constant listening mode to his voice, to his direction, even to his correction. Say, I'm listening for God's correction. Because how many know that every one of us need correction sometime? And it's going to come through God's voice. And you know what? It may come through a person. So Jesus was there alone. Verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, how many times have God told you to do something, and you went to do that, and trouble arose? But God, you told me to do this. Did he say it was going to be easy and peachy, and you're going to have rose-colored pavement? Do you realize that the enemy wants to keep you from doing God's will? And what he does is he lies to you. He deceives you, he accuses you, so that he can try to steal and kill and destroy you. Who told them to go to the other side? So if they had God's word, it doesn't matter what comes up in the middle, you still have God's word. I'm going to the other side. Why? Because he said so. Okay? So the disciples were in the middle of the sea. Jesus was there, and they were getting fearful. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. As the Son of God, he is the God of the supernatural. As the Son of God, he can interrupt natural laws anytime that he needs to. And it's not normal for people to walk on water, but when you're the Son of God, you can walk on water. And when you have faith in the Son of God, you can walk on water. Because wasn't there another person who walked on water with Jesus? Who was that? Peter. He walked on water. Why? Because he had faith in God. So God is as the Son of God, he's the God of the supernatural. He's the God of the universe. He can speed up natural processes. He can quicken natural occurrences. He can speed up seasons. He can accelerate things. He can create things that weren't there before because he's the God of the supernatural. Aren't you glad that we have a supernatural God? He adds some super to your natural and you become supernatural. You know, they used to say at Rhema, when the natural and the supernatural come together, they make an explosive force for God. You know, that's what God told Pastor Fiona and I. God said to us when we got married that we were going to make an explosive force for God. And you know what? I am so blessed to be able to minister with my wife together. Amen. Before I got married, my prayer was, you know, I wanted a wife like Gloria Copeland, you know, because that was my I guess standard, that you might say. And I got one so much better, amen. And we worked together, but that has been the thing that the devil attacks the most. But I just want you to know that we work together because that's how God spoke to us. Amen? And no matter what storms come up, we have God's word, so we're going to work together no matter what. So he's the God of the supernatural. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out in faith, right? No, they didn't cry out in faith, did they? They thought a ghost was walking on the water. Okay, but Jesus, as the Son of God, he's the God of the supernatural. You know, our bodies were meant to be healed. When you break a bone, you put that bone back in place. What happens to that bone? It goes back together. When you get a paper cut, you know, and after the initial pain, what happens to that cut? It heals. Now, when you're dealing with a sickness, an infirmity, your body was designed by God to heal, but now you need help. You need some supernatural help. You need God to come into your body and to accelerate the natural process and to help your immune system. Okay? So they were, these, you know what? They had God's word, but they weren't in faith. How many know that you got to stay in faith? When God tells you to go from point A to point B, you've got to start in faith, you've got to stay in faith, and you've got to finish in faith. Can you say amen? Say, I'm going to start in faith. Say, I'm going to stay in faith. Say, I'm going to end in faith. Okay? And what did Jesus say to them, verse 27? In the midst of their trouble, in the midst of their fear, he gave them a word. Jesus said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. How many know that oftentimes when the Son of God arrives on the scene, he's got to deal with your fear? He's got to calm the fear, and he does it by speaking to it. How do you think we can calm our fear? By speaking to it. We can do what Jesus did, can't we? So Jesus, you know what? When he tells you to go somewhere, he's going to save you from destruction. His presence will show up when you need it most. Why? He's a very present help when? In time of trouble. You know, the Bible said, come boldly before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace when you need it. How many know that when you need grace, grace is available? What is God's grace? It's God's power. It's God's ability. It's the ability to do the impossible. So they were in the midst of a storm. They were fearful. Jesus shows up. And Peter answered him and said, what did he say? Lord. When you call Jesus Lord, what does that mean? It means that he has the right to rule your life. And I love how Peter responded. He called him Lord. Okay? He said, if it be you. Well, didn't Jesus just say, it is I? And wouldn't Peter have known his voice? But Peter said, if it's you, bid me come. unto you on the water. Who was Peter coming to? He was coming to Jesus, the Son of God. He was coming to the one who had the authority. Okay? And what was Jesus' response? He said, wait a minute, Peter, let me get ready first. Right? What did Jesus say? Do you realize that God has what you need, and when you ask Him for it, He lets you come? All those who are heavy laden with burden, what did Jesus do? He said, come to me, and I will give you rest. If you're thirsty, where should you go? You should go to the source of water, right? Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me, and I'll cause rivers of living water to flow out of your innermost being, out of your belly. God wants, so I want you to see something here. Peter prayed. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Jesus said, come. He answered Peter's question. Jesus had already established that it was him. It was his presence there. So, did he say, come, Peter? Who could have come in that instance? Every disciple could have come. You know, oftentimes when we call people up for prayer. And sometimes you may not feel like you need prayer, and that's fine. But if you have the slightest inkling that you need prayer, I mean, I've had people several times come up to me afterwards and said, oh, I should have come. I wish I would have come. Well, why didn't you? What's holding you back? Peter said, Lord, if it's you, I want to come to you. And Jesus said, come. That invitation was to everybody who was present. Okay? And so you have a 1 out of 12 response. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, so Jesus rescues us when we're in trouble. He comes to us when we need Him most. Okay? And Peter got out of the ship and walked on water to go to Jesus. If Jesus is the Son of God, and He is, and you put your faith in the Son of God, then you can do what He does. Amen? How many believe that you can do what Jesus did? In John 14, He said, the works that I do, you can do also. You can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You can preach the gospel to someone and they can accept Christ and be saved. You can tell demons where to go. You have the ability to cast out devils. But if we have that ability, how come we're not using it? How come we're not doing it? Maybe we still haven't dealt with our fear. Okay? Now, as the Son of God, He's the God of the supernatural. So He walked on the water to go to Jesus, verse 30. But when He saw the wind boisterous, He was what? How quickly He went from no fear to lots of fear. He went from zero to fear in 60 seconds. Right? Okay, Jesus came in the night, in the storm. They're in the middle of the sea. He told them to go. A storm rose up. They're fearful. God's presence comes to them. He deals with their fear. Be of good cheer. Turn your fear into cheer. Let's give God a cheer. Woo! You got to turn your fear into cheer. The problem is most people respond, oh, I'm so afraid. Do you realize when you respond that way, you give strength to fear? I'm so worried. I don't know what to do. Zip it. So Peter's walking on the water, but now he's looking at the wind. How easily he was distracted from Jesus' presence. He begins to look away at what's not important, to what's not important. Jesus was important. He was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And where was God? Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. He will not let you be destroyed. He will not let you be done. He will not let you be overwhelmed. See, because as the Son of God, he is the one that can cause help to come. He is the one that can change your circumstance. As the divine Son of God. And Jesus told Peter, he said, "Well, Peter, you did a pretty good job, didn't he?" Is that what he said? What did Jesus say? "Oh, you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt?" You know what? Peter didn't even get congratulations for getting out of the boat. Jesus didn't say, "Peter, good job. You made it out of the boat. You did better than others." You know why? He never compares you with someone else. He only compares you with his word. The question is, are you going to believe me? Are you going to believe what I say? Are you going to trust what I say? Are you going to do what I say? Now notice this. When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. The minute the Son of God got on the ship, trouble ceases. And he'll put you in the right direction. He comes to you when you call on him. He'll make a way for you. "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, you are the Son of God." See, Jesus did this. He did things to prove who he was. He did this to show the people who he was. See, God comes to a person and he reveals himself to us. He reveals himself. Why would he walk on water? Why would he invite someone else to come and walk on water with him? And why did he rebuke the doubt? Because he wanted to show them that he's the Son of God. He wanted to show them that no matter what, you can trust him. No matter what, you can put your faith in him. No matter what. When you have Jesus on your side, you have access to all of heaven's goods. Amen? So they had a revelation after they worshiped him. Now, how come they didn't get the revelation before? Only Peter had the revelation. He said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Lord, if it's you, bid me healed. Lord, if it's you, bid me saved. Lord, if it's you, bid me delivered." And you know what Jesus is going to say? He's going to say, "Come, be healed. Come, be delivered. Come, be filled." Every answer to your questions is come. The answer to your questions is come to him. Come to the Son of God. And you know, Jesus didn't even say anything to the people who didn't get out of the boat. He was talking to the one who got out of the boat, Peter. So, this scenario gave them a revelation that this is the Son of God. After he displayed his power, they worshiped him. He deserves our worship. Amen? So what does God have to do to get you to believe? Go with me to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. What did Thomas have to do to believe? He had to touch Jesus. So his believing was connected to what he could touch. Okay? Peter, he believed because Jesus said, come. He believed for a short time anyway, but like I said, Jesus didn't praise him. You know why? Because that particular task wasn't finished. Do you realize that Peter didn't make it all the way to Jesus? He was on his way to Jesus, walking on the water, but he got distracted by the wind. Too many times, we're on our way to do God's will, but on the way, we get distracted. And on the way, whatever is distracting us is causing us to turn our eyes away from Jesus. And you know what? When someone's eyes are not on Jesus, you cannot hide it. You can't fake it. Look at Matthew 27, and look at verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Does God have to have an earthquake? Does he have to break rocks in half? Does he have to tear the curtain in two just so that you believe in who he was? In who he said he was? Jesus said a number of times, he said, you destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it again. He proved who he was when he called Lazarus from the dead, when he said the lame man to walk, when he said the man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. Everything that Jesus did proved he was the Son of God. And he even said he was the Son of God. He said, before Abraham was, I am. But yet, people did not believe what he said. And here's a centurion. Here's one of the guys who probably tortured Jesus. I don't know if he nailed him to the cross. I don't know if he instructed others to do it. He was a centurion, so he's over 100 men. But he didn't believe until he saw all this stuff happen. And now he believes. Now he gets a revelation that he's the Son of God. You know what, folks? You don't have to wait for God to do something in order for you to believe him. If you just take him at his word, if you just believe what he said, if you trust what he said with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, how do we know if you're trusting it? Because you're doing it. If you're not doing it, you're not trusting it. Amen? So this centurion, after people were raised from the dead, well, I'm not going to believe until I see someone raised from the dead. Well, there you go. Someone, not only one, but several people came out of the graves. Do you know what Jesus said about people who seek a sign? He said they're a wicked generation. A lot of people aren't going to have faith in God unless they see a sign. And isn't that what people did? They said, if he's the Son of God, why don't he come down off that cross? Little did they know that he was paying the price for their sin. But we're at a different place. We have God's word. Heaven and earth that we know it is going to pass away. But God's word will never pass away. You can rely on every word. You can live by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. You can walk by it. You can relate to others by it. You can have a career by it. You can increase by it. Simply because God said it, that should be the only reason why we believe it. We don't need any other evidence to convince us that what God said is true. You've got to make up your mind that God's word is true no matter what. If God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And that means now, because I'm reading God's word, I'm studying to show myself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the... You know what? If you don't study the word, you're going to be ashamed. And as I grow in God's knowledge, then this book now governs my behavior, my living. Okay, I'm going to love people. Why? Because God said, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to honor my parents. Why? Because God's word says it's the command with promise. Honor your father and your mother. Well, you don't know what they did to me. You honor them anyway. Why? Because God said it. Someone did me wrong. I'm going to get angry. I'm going to give them. No, I'm not going to get angry. I'm going to forgive them. Why? Because God said to forgive them. Do you see now? When you believe what God said, you now let his word govern your life. And guess what? When you discover that there's a behavior in your life that doesn't line up with God's word, guess what has to change? Your behavior has to change. Well, it's my choice. Yeah, it is your choice. Choose you this day whom you serve. I've set before you life or death. Your choices are life or death. Every test that you face in life is a multiple choice question. You can either choose life or death. You can either choose what God said or you can try to figure it out yourself. And God will let you try to figure it out yourself. And when you can't figure it out, he'll still help you when you call on him. Can I read something to you from 1 Kings? And then we're going to look at one more scripture and then I'm done. You want to see something about the grace of God? Solomon had just finished building the temple. And he made this prayer. I'm not going to read all of it because it's a long prayer. You know, if you're ever with Solomon, you don't want him to pray. Because he prays long prayers. Don't ever ask this Solomon, who was the king, to pray over your meal. After he built the temple, he prayed this prayer. 1 Kings chapter 8, let's go with verse 31. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before your altar in this house, then hear in heaven and do and judge your servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, justifying the righteous. When your people, verse 33, when your people Israel be smitten down before their enemy because they have sinned against you and shall turn again to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication unto you in this house, then hear in heaven. You know, when we sin, when we miss the mark, when we don't believe God like we should, we can pray and he will have mercy on us. And if you read the rest of this chapter of the things that Solomon prayed, when you miss the mark, when you're defeated by your enemy and your people call out to you, then God will come in and destroy the enemy. Isn't that what happened in Israel for real? Go with me to Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to close with this today. Matthew 16. And verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" I want to ask you this question. Who is the Son of Man to you? Okay? Here's what they said. They said, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. They didn't have a clue who he was. Then he said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" Ask yourself this question, who is the Lord to you? Who do you believe the Lord to be? Who is he to you? Is he your healer? Is he your Savior? Is he your provider? Is he your Lord? Or do you reserve the right to make your own decisions in your life? Once again, you can do that. He'll allow you to do that, but every decision has a blessing or a consequence attached to it. If you make the choice and you get a bad consequence, you can't blame God. Who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? And without thinking, without having a discussion or taking a poll, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So the Son of God, he's the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. How did Peter come to this knowledge? Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona." Barjona simply means son of John. "Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." You know what? People need a revelation of who God is. They need a revelation of who Jesus is. And when you're around the preaching of the word, when you're hearing the preaching of the word, when you're reading the word, you're getting yourself ready to receive a revelation. Amen? When you're around a place where God is speaking, then you're inclined to get a revelation. Jesus said that flesh and blood did not reveal this to Peter. In that instant, God downloaded this truth to Peter. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you." Do you realize that when you have one revelation from God, God will give you more? You can grow in your revelation of who God is and what he's doing in your life. I'll give you an example. You know, God spoke to me a word in 1991. It was Galatians 3:29. It said, "If you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." I had no clue what that meant. All I did in that moment was I put there Pastor Pishka's ministry. I still have the Bible, I think, that I have that written in. I had no clue what that meant. But I knew that God had spoken it to me. I knew that God had showed it to me. So you know what I did? I did like Mary. I kept it in my heart. You know, when you don't understand something, just keep it in your heart and wait for further instructions. Amen? So what happened is, the more I walk with God, then God began to show me more meaning of what that meant. He wanted me to help people find their inheritance in God's word. You know, it's no coincidence that I always have a lot of scripture in a bulletin, because that is how God uses me to minister to people. I'm a teacher and I'm an exhorter. Now, Pastor Fiona, she is prophetic. I mean, you know, God, I wish that God would speak to me in the shower. But every time she gets out of the shower, God's like, it's like a revelation shower. You know, and she comes and she shares these things with me. Now, when she shares it, I still don't always understand it. And thank God that I have a patient wife. She allows me time to process. How many know that we all process things differently? You know, some people can get it just like that. Well, you know what? It takes people like me to a little bit longer. If you give me time, I'll catch up. And sometimes she'll say things and, you know, I'll be like, I'm thinking, man, that is so crazy. And then 2 weeks later, I'll be saying what she said. She'd be like, you know. But see, in order for you to really understand who the Son of God is, I mean, I could say everything that he is in the Bible, but it's not so much what I say, but it's what the Holy Spirit then speaks to your heart about who he is to you for your situation, in your hour of need, in your moment, in your darkest hour. Notice what happened after he got this one revelation. And what did he do with the revelation? He spoke it out. You think Peter understood all that that meant? No, because he ended up denying the Lord. Remember? Peter got this great revelation of who God was. But then, when the rubber met the road, he denied him. He denied knowing him in the darkest hour. But you know what? Peter didn't stay in his depression. I need to just speak on this for just a moment. Yes, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. He didn't do it a 4th time. He didn't stay in denial. He didn't stay away from the Lord, but he repented and he got it right with God. And guess what? He got to preach on the day of Pentecost because he repented. How many know that you can make a big mistake in life, but that doesn't mean that God can't make up for it? Amen? There's so much to know about that story in Peter. We've all made mistakes. We've all missed it. But the point is, when you miss it, keep coming to the Lord. Keep doing what you need to do. Keep studying the Word. Keep praying. And God will make up for it. After Peter had this revelation, he said, I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, he wasn't talking of Peter being the rock of the church. You know, people say, well, Peter's at the gate. Well, Peter may be at the gate, but he's not the rock on which Christ built his church. It's the revelation of who the Son of God is. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Aren't you glad that you're part of something that the gates of hell can't prevail? You're part of a church that God is building that the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. Then he says, and because you were open to a revelation, because you received a revelation, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. How many would like to have the keys of the kingdom of heaven? You have every one of us has a master key. It's called J-E-S-U-S. Did you know that J-E-S-U-S opens every door in heaven? You have access to all of heaven's goods with Jesus. You know, if God had an alarm system, his code would be J-E-S-U-S. Call upon the Lord and you shall be saved. J-E-S-U-S. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. It's up to you to enforce the revelations that God gives you. It's up to you to walk out the revelation that God gives you. If God's given you a revelation, and every revelation has a purpose, it has a plan, it's up to you to walk it out. In other words, when God reveals something to you, you become responsible for how it's carried out. And if you don't do it, he'll give it to someone else. You know, Catherine Kuhlman, she was a healing evangelist. She didn't want to do what she did, but there were many who refused to do it. Many who refused to accept the call. When you know what? God's still, the call of God is still on a person, but he will not wait for you. He will move on. And he leaves it up to you if you're going to walk in a revelation or not. It's up to you if you're going to walk in truth or not. You know, whatever it is you need from God, he can give you a revelation to help bring it to pass. And it'll be given to you by God the Father, not flesh and blood. You know, some things of God are not taught. Some things have to be caught. Elisha, he was plowing one day. And God had spoken to Elijah, and he said, I want you to go anoint Elisha as prophet in your stead. That means Elijah had to anoint his predecessor that was going to take over his job. And Elisha, from the point that he was anointed, he began to serve. He served Elijah. He walked with him. He carried his briefcase. He ministered with him. You know, he did Elijah's book table and tape table, and everywhere that Elijah went, Elisha went. And after serving him, Elisha said, I want a double portion of your anointing. Elijah said, you know what? You ask a hard thing. But he said, if you are there when I go, if you see me when I go, you can have what you asked for. So what did Elisha have to do? He had to be with Elijah until he left. And in the last part of his ministry, Elijah would go to a place and he would say, okay, Elisha, you stay here. And Elisha said, uh-uh, I have a revelation from God that if I see you go, I'm going to get what I've asked you for. So I'm sticking with you like glue. I'm sorry, Elijah, but you can't get rid of me. Then he went to the next place. Okay, Elisha, you stay here. I'm going to go. I'm not staying here. I'm going with you. Okay, the third place. Okay, Elisha, I'm going to go. You stay here. I'm not going. Why? Because he had a revelation from God. He had to walk it out. He heard something from God, and it was up to him to walk it out in order to receive the benefits of it. Finally, Elijah was at the Jordan. And when he parted the Jordan for the last time, and I don't know why I'm talking about this. This has nothing to do with my message, but God wants someone here to see this principle. There's things that you don't have because you're not walking in it. You're not walking in the truth of it. The truth, you don't keep that truth before you. The Bible speaks against being a forgetful hearer. Sometimes it's easy to forget the things that we've learned because we don't keep it before us. So there was Elijah. He had split the Jordan. And there was the heaven open. And the chariots of fire came. They came to pick up Elijah. Elijah got in the chariot. Chariots took off into heaven. And there was Elisha. He was where he needed to be because he had a revelation from God. And it was based on that revelation. If you see me when I go, you can have what you've asked for. And there he said, my father, my father. And out from the sky came down Elijah's mantle. It was his outer garment, his cloak. That's what signified him as a prophet. And when that came down, Elisha grabbed it. And he said, where is the God of Elisha? He struck the Jordan and it parted. And if you study Elisha, he did twice as many miracles as Elijah because he got a double portion. What has God spoken to you? What has God showed you? What has God whispered in your ear? What has God planted in your heart? You may not understand it all now, but you can start walking in it. You can start doing it. Don't keep it before you. Keep it around your eyes and around your neck. Isn't that what Proverbs says? On the frontlet of your eyes. So that every time you close your eyes, every time I close my eyes, I saw Galatians 3:29. There were times when I closed my eyes and I saw Galatians 3:29 and I would see myself doing what I'm doing right today. I would see a crowd of people and I would see me talking before them. Had no clue how it was going to come to pass, but you know what I did? I accepted it as truth. I took it as truth to me. And if you want to know who the Son of God is, if you want to know him as a deliverer, he is a deliverer. And God will show you how he can deliver. He is a healer. God will show you how he heals your body. But you know what you got to do? You've got to come. If you want it, it's yours, but you've got to possess it. It's already been given to you. What has God given to you that you haven't possessed? Today is Possession Sunday. Amen? God is about to transfer something to you. I got to read one more scripture. In Psalm 105, verse 24. Pull it up on the screen if you can. Psalm 105, verse 24. I want you to see how God prospered Israel while they were still in Egypt. And he increased his people greatly. Everybody say greatly. And made them stronger than their enemies. Do you see yourself stronger than your enemies or weaker? This was talking about while they were still in Egypt. And it was when God transferred the wealth of Egypt to Israel in how many days? One day. You talk about a to-go order. Not only did Israel have the first fast food meal, but they didn't have to pay for it. They got paid to have it. It was the first time that anybody went to a fast food restaurant and got paid instead of... So, can God increase you? Is God in the increasing business? Is he in the delivering business? Is he in the healing business? Is he in the people business? Are you a people? Then God is for you. And God will show you who the Son of God is. And you can look in the bulletin for other things where it talks about the Son of God. I just didn't have time to talk about it today, but you know what? God's power is here. It's always here. You know, there's never a day when God has a blackout in his power. But oftentimes, we just don't participate with it. We know it's there, but we don't hook up with it. But I want you to hook up with God's power today. I want you to play that song. The peace of God is here. And I want you to come and accept as truth what God said to you and make a decision today that you're going to start walking in it. Whatever that is. If God said you're going to be healed, walk in your healing. From this point on, don't magnify the sickness. Magnify the healer. Maybe you're here today and you're just empty. You feel depleted. You feel weak. Well, God will give you strength. If you need strength, come. If you need peace, come. If you need direction, come. If you need healing, come. If you need help, come. Show God that you really believe what he said. You don't need a sign. You don't need thunder to clap. You don't need a loud noise. All you need is his word. This was written by his spirit. His spirit and his word agree. The spirit and the word produce life. God wants to give life to you. If there's something that God spoke to you, you're going to act, you're going to have an act of faith. You're just going to come up here and you're going to act like you've possessed it. Amen? Do you understand what I'm asking you to do? There's things that God spoke to you, things that God said to you, things that he promised. This is where you latch onto it and you become like that bulldog that found a steak bone. And for those of you that are coming up here, I want you to verbalize and declare what God said to you. Just like Peter, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And true. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Go with us as we leave today. We speak a blessing on every person. And Lord, we go in your glory and in your strength in Jesus' name. Amen.